Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Geeks and Noobs podcast. My name is Superbeard Vince Hoover. I am your host. Of course, always, I have with me my co-host, Kel McCosplay. And we are so happy to have you here for what is the finale of the first season. And I'm going to say first season because they pretty much put it in there that they're going to do a season two of She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. If you're watching this on Twitch, please hit that follow button. And if you could be ever so generous, please hit that subscribe button. It's just $5 a month. Or if you have Amazon Prime, you can use that, make Jeffrey Bezos pay for it, and get a free Prime sub each month. Now, if you're on YouTube, please hit that like button. Please hit that follow button. Subscribe button, sorry. Please hit that notification bell so you know every time we go live. If you are on Facebook, please hit that thumbs up. Please hit that follow button. Please share it with all your friends and family. Now, that being said, getting that out of the way, episode 9 of She-Hulk. What can I say? It was a banger. It was an incredible episode, an incredible wrap-up to an amazing series. Very quickly, one of, if not my favorite series thus far. Marvel had no problem going after the trolls and the toxic fans. They had no problem subverting expectations, and they had no problem going after themselves.
I thought that was the most interesting part there. They're willing to make fun of themselves to sell the show.
Yeah, no, none more so evident than this particular episode. You know, the season finale, they really even went after themselves a bit, and I love that. I thought it was great. Of course, coming off of that penultimate episode, episode 8, which was a lot of fun, you know, we had She-Hulk really hulking out after Intelligentsia decided to, you know, shame her, slut shame her, put up revenge porn, the whole nine in front of everybody. And she kind of lost it. And
as anybody would in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. Except for she is an exceptional individual, as she is a Hulk. But the series as a whole,
I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's fantastic. This episode started with a complete shot-for-shot reenactment of the 1970s Incredible Hulk television series with Bill Bixby and Lou Ferrigno.
I couldn't believe that went there. Because I knew we got that shot from the trailer, but I thought that was just going to be like just something for the trailer for the show.
Yeah.
And the fact we actually got it as the whole first scene for this last episode, and it was a dream by Jen, it was awesome. I mean, they recreated it near perfect.
Yeah, it was amazing. But what's also important about that is the 70s series of The Incredible Hulk was a show, it was a drama based around a very tragic and sympathetic character that we're supposed to feel empathy for. And who's always down on his luck. He's constantly having to hitchhike places and move away and run away. And that's kind of what the first two versions of Hulk on the big screen we got were about.
Yeah.
With Ang Lee's Hulk and then the Incredible Hulk in the MCU. And so the point of that whole intro was to, again, subvert expectations because she's like, no, we're not doing this. You know, this isn't a tragic, this is a comedy. This is supposed to be fun. This is not a woe is me moment. I'm just getting screwed over.
Yeah.
So, of course, Jen gets fired. She gets arrested first, put in the same cell as Emil Blonsky was in. They make a plea deal for her, but the plea deal is she has to wear an inhibitor the rest of her life and never be the Hulk, the She-Hulk again, which seems very drastic for that one moment. But,
yeah.
You know, Emil Blonsky got the exact same punishment, and he destroyed Harlem. Mm-hmm. Killed a bunch of people. Doesn't seem fair, but that's also been the whole bread and butter of the show. How certain genders and certain people of color and certain people that aren't straight white men get treated less fairly than, you know, or the fact that straight white men get treated much better
Yeah.
on much harsher conditions. So that was a fun little notion. But, I mean, Jen's literally at rock bottom. She loses her apartment. She has to move back in with her parents. And, I mean, all she can really do, she lost her job. She'll never be able to practice again. Nobody's going to hire her. You know, she knows that. And so she really just has to kind of hope that she can at least find the people behind Intelligentsia to try and sue them, because that's her only option, especially since she can't be She-Hulk anymore. But that leads to, you know, Nikki and Pug helping out. Nikki, first off, Jen's mom is such a sitcom mom. It's great.
Just constant. Oh, do you want to see baby pictures when they're kids? Yeah, and of course Nikki, of course I do.
But in one of the things she does is she shares a video from party of at college where Jen, you know, Jen's dancing around and just being a college kid. And Nikki, unfortunately, you know, she has it's a brilliant idea what she does.
It is.
It sucks because she has to kind of basically do to Jen what they're doing to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels really bad about it. But at the same time, she's, you know, by any means necessary. And she realizes that this is the only way. She posts a video on Intelligentsia. Oh, look at Jen. Look at her. Even before she was the Hulk. Da 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 da. Oh, which also I want to mention before we get into that, that scumbag Dennis from her previous law firm. How she did. My immediate response there was, oh, well, he's the first person to sue. Because he straight up lied.
Oh, yeah.
Saying they dated for years and she was a psycho long before I blame her grandmother, which I don't know where the hell that even came from.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
But him just, he went on a news radio or a news station and flat out lied. He'd have been the top of my list to sue. I'd have been suing him before I sued anybody else. But at the same time, I appreciated that because, again, it was like he kind of got lost in the sauce with everything else going on. It was just nice to remember that douchebag from the first couple episodes. Running back, but in... apparently, Intelligentsia is running some kind of convention of their own, as it were, which was funny because we had both TwitchCon and New York Comic Con here recently. Both of those have been interesting. Seeing the fallout from those.
Yeah.
Including one Twitch creator actually broke her back in two places due to some negligence on a booth.
Yeah.
And apparently somebody else dislocated a knee. Somebody else got a concussion. There was a lot of bad things that happened at TwitchCon. There was bad things that happened at New York Comic Con. But yeah, so the Intelligentsia have their men get together because it's all dude bros. It's all mostly white guys and just a bunch of alpha males and you know, basically if the Marvelous Mark on TikTok cloned himself 50 times,
yeah,
what it would be. And I meant to talk about breaking news too, but we'll talk about it later, about the release dates getting shifted. Just mentioning him made me think about, he made a video about how DC's proven to be better than Marvel because they got Black Adam this year and Marvel's pushing back release dates. So I was like, yeah, okay. Anyways, Nikki has Pug come help her, and although he's incredibly reluctant because he's the exact opposite of everybody in that room, he's a dude, so, you know, she couldn't go in there, but he could.
Yeah.
So, gets him to go in. We find out what we all kind of expected, that Todd Phillips is the Hulk King. The guy that's been asking very specific questions about her, got the vibranium spear, et cetera, et cetera. In the meantime, while they're at this convention, Jen decides, like, she still can't get a hold of Bruce. He's like, well, Emil said I could come stay a few days at his retreat whenever I wanted. He has no signal. I can't get a hold of him, but he said I could just pop in anytime. So yeah. I'm going to go. I need to get away. He'll understand. He's been through it. He's literally gone through it. She gets down there. She's met by Wrecker, gives her a hug, sets her up with a guest room. And she really wants to go see Emil he's apparently doing some kind of special private engagement, but she's like, oh, I'm going to go down there and see if I can talk to him before he does it or whatever. So flip over to Nikki and Pug. They're at the convention. He's trying to mingle. It's not really working out, but Nikki's feeding him lines like, oh, it's nepotism, blah, blah, blah. All this different stuff about how she didn't earn her powers and different that.
Yeah. Females, am I right?
Ugh. Yeah, he's completely disgusted with himself. But,
yeah, he is.
But he's trying to fit in and figure out what's going on. It's when we figure out that Todd is indeed the Hulk King. Todd then has everybody sit down because they have a special guest speaker, and it's the Abomination. Not a meal, the Abomination. We learn why his inhibitor keeps malfunctioning. It's because he does these side speaking engagements for profit. Now, I'm going to give you, this is what something people did. The second he walked in, most people in their heads, I'm sure, thought, oh, but he didn't reform. He was bad all along. He's here to speak here. No, he starts giving a very blanket prepared speech to fit any engagement.
Yeah.
Because he's just a motivational speaker and doesn't even know what their motivations are for being there. He doesn't understand what their mission statement is, just there to make some money and give a blanket motivational speech.
Yeah.
And this, of course, gets her to be, you know, she walks in because the private thing was actually on his retreat.
Yeah.
So the Intelligentsia was meeting on the retreat. Again, unbeknownst to Emil, he just thought it was a group that hired him, so he part of the payment is he offers him a space, and he comes and gives a generic, one-size-fit-all motivational speech.
Yeah.
But he does it as the Abomination, because that's what people are paying for. All of a sudden, we find out, you know, Jen, of course, walks in, we find out Todd's like, of course it was me. You didn't deserve these powers. You didn't earn them. But I paid a lot of money to have your blood synthesized. And so I'm earning these powers. He injects himself with this synthesized Hulk blood and becomes a new Hulk. Very grossly, too. It was very, like, sounded gross. It sounded very unnatural. It didn't sound like any of the other ones. It sounded very almost body horror.
Yeah, I really loved how they literally made him look like a Hulk troll.
Yeah.
Cause,
kept his scarf, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
And
of course, his first words after he becomes a Hulk is turn to his dude bros. Come at me, bro!
Yeah. And then somehow, so things start getting thrown around. Titania busts to the wall.
Out of nowhere.
And Jen's literally breaking the fourth wall. That feature says, I was hoping only the arm transformed. Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too when his arm fell to the ground, and I thought, like, maybe it's just going to be the arm. That would have been funny.
Yeah.
But I realized why they went with a full transformation, and I'll get to that in a minute. Because she's literally like, wait a minute, this can't be real. This can't be how this ends. This is not, this is a giant mess. Things start getting thrown around. Emil is now rescuing Jen, but in that very moment, out of nowhere, once again, Bruce shows up.
Like, literally fell from the roof.
Thinking the Abomination is attacking his cousin, they start fighting. She's like, what the hell is going on? And she just, it gets completely out of hand. She's like, no, just stop. And then we got, to me, one of the greatest moments, and I'm not going to say comic accurate. I'm going to say greatest interpretation of evolving a comic panel, a visual medium of film. She breaks off her inhibitor, stops everything, and then, to what I'm sure some people thought that their Disney Plus had messed up, it goes to the Disney, the Marvel page on Disney Plus. And it reminded me of way back in the day when I played Metal Gear Solid for the first time.
Yes.
And you got to, what's his name?
Psycho Mantis.
Thank you. And in your fight with him, he reads your memory card to see if you've played any other Capcom games, and he'll make fun of you if you save often. And then he turns your TV off. He doesn't actually.
But the screen's black.
Try playing that at 1 in the morning at, say, you know, 16 years old, And the screen goes black while you're in the middle of playing it, and you're like, oh no, what happened? You know, and it reminded me of that kind of moment of just like, what the, whoa, what's going on? I'm in the middle of something.
Yeah. And then we start hearing Jen talking.
Yeah, she starts talking. She busts through her She-Hulk screen panel. And again, this is straight out of the comics. Multiple times where John Byrne would write something, and the thing was, he was told to kind of go this direction. He knew it was ridiculous, so his answer was to have Jen say that it was ridiculous, call him out. He even had himself drawn into a comic where she busted through a panel, flipped the page herself, found him, and like grabbed him by the collar and was yelling at him and stuff. Like, straight out of the comics, walking right out of the panel, she walks right out of her show thumbnail. He's like, where'd I gotta go? I need to flip. Ah, Marvel Assembled. That's it. Bust through there to end up on the back lot of Marvel Studios.
Yes.
And in a perfect synergy, same reveal we got from episode 8 when she first put on her suit, the pan up from her legs and everything, and it happens again, but now she's in the real world.
Yeah. You hear some guy talking about wanting to design the Infinity Gauntlet for the first Thor movie. It's really quaint and quiet, so you really got to listen to it. But that was interesting, because it's like when you watch Marvel Assembled, and they do like little cast interviews and this and that. So it's like that. You see a couple of lights and the guy sitting in a chair and being interviewed, and then she walks off. And then you can see the Disney water tower with Mickey Mouse on it in the background at one point. And she even walks in front of the animation studios where they did The Lion King and Aladdin and all the great classic animated films. You can tell it because they still have the seven dwarves holding up the columns. And I was like, is this happening?
You know, shot right on the Disney backlot.
Yeah.
She goes in, she finds her way in. Of course, people are looking at her kind of weird because it's like, oh my god, does She-Hulk's real? And she finds herself in the She-Hulk writer's room.
Yeah.
You see plans for season 2, episode, like, all these different episodes. And they're talking, like, if you ever saw, like, 30 Rock with Tina Fey, Tracy Morgan, Alec Baldwin, they have a lot of these writer room things. Also, if you saw Matrix Resurrections here recently, they have their kind of, as they're trying to plan the new game and they're trying to brainstorm things and they're just going ridiculous and over the top every time. That's what they're doing in here. We see the actual writers of the show, including the showrunner Jessica Gao was there. And she's literally like, what are y'all doing? Like, this is not how this show ends. Like, oh, well, this is how every Marvel property ends. He's like, you're going to have somebody, why are we constantly doing like another Hulk, Todd, really? This is it? You know? And so she's like, well, it's what Kevin wanted. And what I noticed immediately is she says Kevin and it's spelled correctly on the subtitles.
Yeah.
But every time the writer said it, it was all caps and punctuate. It was an abbreviation. Yeah. I was like, that's weird.
That's interesting. That's
peculiar. But she's like, well, where is Kevin? And he's like, well, you won't be able to speak to him, but blah, blah, blah. But she goes up into the actual Marvel office, by the way. You see, it's the same place where you saw that picture from Ryan Reynolds when he very first teased coming to the MCU.
Yep.
That same wall background. Very funnily, the guy at the desk, like, well, you have to sign an NDA before you go in there. And he signs this very, very long NDA. She scrolls through it, and then she signs it on an iPad. And then security shows up. She's like, really? He's like, everybody has to sign it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Even detainees.
Yeah.
But we get a hallway battle scene with security guards trying to stop her. That's very akin to Black Widow's fight scene in Iron Man 2.
Yeah, I felt that way too about it.
Yeah, including some action, like, moves. But she's also, like, a Hulk, so she's hitting the guys much further away and farther and everything. And then she uses one dude for the retinal scan, which I thought was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets inside, and there's this just round, like, curved wall of screens. And they're playing the different MCU movies all the way back from Iron Man 1 through... There's a lot of Hulk on it. There's a lot of Hulk. But all these different things. She's looking around. Out of the top, comes down this robotic ball, little arms, and
it was like the old school camera lenses.
The three balls on it, or three lenses on it. Like, it's an old 3D camera. Got three lenses. If you've ever played the game Portal, it's very much like that. It also, if you saw the movie WALL-E, it was kind of similar to that AI. This is Kevin, which Kevin is, and I had it here. Hold on. Kevin stands for Knowledge Enhanced Visual Interconnectivity Nexus. Now, Nexus is, of course, very important to the multiverse.
And thrown around a lot in Phase 4.
Future says, even when auditioning for background, they do make you sign those NDAs. I've signed two myself. Yeah, you have to sign it for everything.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to Marvel. But so Kevin is an AI system that runs an algorithm to figure it out. Then we get very much kind of almost like a funny parody of the Neo and the Matrix, the architect of the Matrix conversation. He's talking about, well, this is how things go. This is what has always worked. This is based on the algorithm of what people want. He's like, well, we're not doing it this way. My show, it's a legal comedy. It's not an action flick. It's not, yes, I'm a superhero, but it's a legal comedy. He lays out some things. We get another little, hey, if you want to bring Daredevil back, I wouldn't be mad at that. Great little thing. She's like, why does Todd have to Hulk out? What is this and that? Why do we have to have this big fight? Where did Bruce come from? Is that how we wrap up the storyline? It doesn't have to be done. So instead of having this huge climactic battle of a villain that mirrors the hero, instead, we just laid out, let's just wrap this up the way it should be wrapped up as a legal comedy.
Yeah.
So through that whole conversation, she goes back, which also, one of the other things I loved was that he's like, I'd like to talk to you as Jen. Can you transform back? But can you wait till you're off camera? Because visual effects are expensive, and your team has already moved on to something else. Which, at that very moment, the Black Panther Wakanda Forever theme was playing, stating that's the next project on the list, and that's what they had moved on to.
Yeah.
I like that little nod as well. So the camera pans back to the AI robot of Kevin, which, by the way, the camera lenses have a ball cap on, because Kevin always wears ball caps, Kevin Feige. Which I actually, and we talked about this before, I thought we were getting Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
I thought we were, oh my God, we're going to get the Marvel Cinematic introduction of Kevin Feige himself. But instead, I think this was even better.
Yeah.
Because so many people think of him as almost like a robot. And everything's an algorithm and a formula and da-da-da-da. I thought that was great. So,
yeah, I love it. Really hard when that happened. I mean, and this is a fact, when I saw his ball cap and it says Kevin right there, and then what the anagram stands for. But it literally is like, this part was flat, and then it just had a little bill over the three lenses.
Yeah, I thought that was great. Just,
such a nod, nod, wink, wink.
So She-Hulk, or Jen Walters, lays out her demands, what she really wants. He sees the potential in it, so he decides to give it to her. And we get back, and she's like, instead of it being nighttime, why is it not daytime? Instead of, a meal being the abomination, why not just have him at a meal? And like, all this other stuff. Why does Bruce even have to be there? We can wrap that up another way.
Yeah.
Why does Todd have to transform? He doesn't need to transform. It goes back, and Daredevil just pops down. He's like, oh, well, you're a little late. It's already over. He's like, okay. Todd's being arrested. Titania's filming it, thinking that Jen's going to go over and murder him, when in fact she's just, scolding him and being like, look,
stupid. See you in court.
Now I'll see you in court. And, Daredevil's like, oh, I missed everything. Oh man. All right.
Yeah.
And then that cuts to a scene. She's obviously got her job back. She's got everything back. She goes on, and as She-Hulk in her lawyer outfit, goes right into the courtroom to go sue them. And of course, there's that whole line. She's like, we're going to get justice. And he's like, and the reporter's like, She-Hulk or Jennifer Walters? And she's like, both. Kind of going back to what, you know, Matt Murdock had said about how, as Jennifer Walters, she can use the law, and when the law fails, she can save people as She-Hulk. Then, of course, she realized also that her plight of being misrepresented because she's a female and not a typical male superhero, it's still going to happen because the reporter's like, so what are you wearing? Or who are you wearing? He's like, really? So she knows her work is never done.
Yeah.
Goes in a suit. And then, you know, of course, we get see that we're having another family dinner out in the backyard of her parents' place.
Yeah, and that's at a barbecue.
Yeah. Matt's there with her. He's visiting for a week, although everybody thinks they're going to get married. They keep talking about kids and stuff. And there's talk about Hell's Kitchen, about it not sounding like a really nice place. But he's just like, I just do what I can to save people. And people are like, oh, well, then you don't make a lot of money, do you? Because you do all this pro bono work. And it's very typical stuff. Matt's very uncomfortable because they keep talking about kids and all this other stuff. He's like, I'm only here for a week. Yeah. But they did also kind of lay the groundwork that she could, you know, have a place to work in New York if she needs to with him. Yeah. So I did appreciate that. Then we got the big reveal that everybody kind of expected to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But not in this way for sure, because it was very much, this was not the Hulk returning in World War Hulk form with his son. Instead, it was just the Hulk. Wearing a Hawaiian shirt and a tank top. And a very... In all the tropes they circumvented in this episode, they kind of did a sitcom trope of that, oh, where's this character been for a while? Oh, he had to go take care of something. Comes back at a family reunion to introduce his long-lost son.
Yeah.
And we got Scar. Admittedly, I'm not a fan of the design. But that could be easily... corrected down the road. He's just there for a moment. I realized in this moment, and we talked about this before the podcast, I realized why the Hulks in live action movies all look weird. And why Lou Ferrigno didn't really look that off-putting, except for the fact that he wasn't 9 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
They keep humanizing the face of the Hulk. And it's become a bit of an almost uncanny valley at this point because it's gotten so good technology that it's very off-putting when you see something that's human but this giant green thing. And I noticed it more with Scar. I'm like, wait a minute. Look at the comics. The Hulk is always depicted as a bit of a Neanderthal-esque face. The oversized eyebrows and the eyebrow bones and everything. Larger nose. Very square jaw. Yeah. Very almost caveman Neanderthal-esque. More separating him. That word's too hard to say right now. Separating him more from Banner than just a green version of him. Whereas in the films, they feel like they need to make him look human in the face for emotion and everything else, which, by the way, you can still do with that Neanderthal face, but they've always tried to make it from Ang Lee's Hulk to the Incredible Hulk to now the Hulk and through all of the MCU, they've done more and more to make him look like Mark Ruffalo. So his whole body is exaggerated beyond belief, except for his face. Yeah. While his head's bigger, it's still proportionate to a Mark Ruffalo face, and I realize that's why it doesn't look as amazing as we think, because we're getting that uncanny valley option where we can't, like, it pulls us out a little bit seeing it, and I saw it more even with Scar. These characters, now Scar in the comics has a more angular face. He's not as Neanderthal-esque, but still has the exaggerated, you know, brow bone kind of thing. But if the Hulk looked kind of more like that when he transformed, I think we would be able to accept it more. Even as the Smart Hulk version, if you go back to the comics, his face and head are still not proportionate to a human. His forehead and like it's almost Frankenstein-esque as Professor Hulk because it's almost square. It's more, but it's an elongated everything, and it's still very angular and sharp. Well, I think realized after watching this episode when I saw Scar and it Just for a second, it took me out because it's very Uncanny Valley. I was like, it's the design. That's what it is. And the reason that Jen doesn't do that, see the She-Hulk and it doesn't pull you out, she's never been depicted that way. She's always been depicted as a 7 foot tall, beautiful woman with green skin.
Yeah.
Beautiful, athletic woman with green skin. And so that's why the show, it never took me out seeing her like that, because there's technically Uncanny Valley with her as well, because that's very much Tatiana Maslany's face. But it doesn't pull you out. So now that I can get off my soapbox about that, we got the introduction of Scar, which will only, I think, fuel the rumors of a World War Hulk movie even more. Supposedly those rights, the distribution rights that Universal holds, are up as of next year. And because there hasn't been another solo movie made, they're going to lose those rights back to Marvel, so Marvel can actually finally do a solo Hulk film without having to pay Universal for distribution. Maybe we will. Like, my curiosity is, how do we get there? How do we... Because you're going to have to make the Hulk revert back to the Savage Hulk.
Yeah.
He's going to need to be larger. He's going to be need to... Like, he'll still be incredibly intelligent. World War Hulk is basically Professor Hulk enlarged, enraged, and beyond pissed off. So hyper intelligent still, but in full Hulk. So how do we get there? I don't know. I don't even want to speculate at this point, because Marvel's starting to prove that everything we thought we knew, we didn't know.
Right. Yeah, I think the way that they would have to start making, you know, have Hulk and Scar and cameos and different projects, even if it's just for a moment, just to establish who they are. And then something happened down the line to where we get to the World War Hulk movie finally.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, because the reason we have the World War Hulk is because the Illuminati in the comics realized that Hulk, right before that, there was a whole new Savage Hulk run, which was phenomenal, by the way. I recommend everybody read it. And Banner had lost control again, and it was very much more Savage Hulk, and he had no recollection of the changes and whatnot, and he was becoming more destructive, still not killing anybody. Hulk had never killed anybody in the comics, but the Illuminati saw that he was getting more and more dangerous and less easy to control. He didn't seem like he would even be good to be on a team, and they realized that he probably wasn't good for the planet. So Tony Stark, Reed Richards, and the rest of them, which, by the way, at this point, Black Panther's like, no, thank you. I'm out. I have nothing to do with this. But Black Bolt, Professor X, etc., decided that it was best to trick him and send him to a very peaceful planet where he could live out the rest of his days on an uninhabited, peaceful, kind of Garden of Eden-style planet. They do so, put him on the ship, which, by the way, that's kind of what we kind of thought was going to happen at an Age of Ultron. And we kind of sort of got it because he ended up on Sakaar. Yeah. But because, again, they couldn't do the full thing. He was made a gladiator. Like, that's all part of the World War Hulk story as well. In the comics, the ship gets hit by an asteroid. Veering it off course, he ends up on Sakaar instead, which is obviously a very... It's a tyrannically driven hell world. And he gets captured, he gets made to be a gladiator. He decides, well, this is my fate anyways. I'm meant to destroy, I'm meant to be destructive. I'm just going to live out my days here. The two, like, he is, like, the Hulk is kind of taking control over every part of the body and every part of the mind. So on Sakaar, he's no longer Savage Hulk. He's highly intelligent. He's just fed up. And he refuses to go back to Banner. This is who I am. Because he has Banner's intelligence, but Hulk is 1,000% driving the car, that personality, just with the intelligence of Banner. But he decides, like, all right, I'll be a gladiator, whatever. This is what I'm meant to be. I don't have any other purpose than destroying. And he does that. But eventually he does realize that what's going on is wrong. The king is a tyrant, and he tries, after falling in love with one of the other gladiators, decides to help Sakaar and save the planet, does so, lives happily as the new king with his wife until the ship that he was on detonates. That was designed by the Illuminati as well, so he couldn't fly back in case Banner took back control. He couldn't figure out how to retrofit the ship. But by getting knocked off course, it messed up the timing of the explosion. Also, the explosion wasn't meant to hurt anybody because it's supposed to be an uninhabited planet. And that's what Hulk kind of always wanted.
Yeah.
Another great story is Hulk the End. Because he is actually immortal, he outlives everybody on the Earth. And it's just basically him and Banner. Banner keeps trying to kill himself, and of course the Hulk won't let him, but there's nothing left, and he's alone. But regardless, the ship explodes, killing his wife and some of his friends and many other people, damaging the planet, etc., etc., etc. Of course, he's lost the love of his life. He does have a son, and their son grows up very rapidly based on the magic of the planet, because she is a gladiator, but she's also, like, has magic. That's kind of gets convoluted, but whatever. So he's only, like, 10 days old, but he's literally 20 years old in Earth time.
Yeah.
He finally gets back. They find a way to make a new ship and fly back to Earth, and he's like, Hulk's never killed before, but guess what? I'm taking all y'all out. Cost me my family. Son now has no mother. I have no wife. Taking everything from me. After forcing me away from my home in the first place, I find a new home, and then you take that from me. First thing he does is take out Black Bolt on the moon. Goes on a rampage and just takes out everyone. Now, this would make a great movie. Curious how we're going to get there. Because he's already gone back to Sakaar, found out he had a son, brought his son back. How do we get World War Hulk? I believe they'll be able to find a way to do it. They don't follow the comics exactly anyways. They never really have.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they'll find a way to do it.
Yeah, there's no telling how, really.
Yeah, I at the current moment, don't see how. But also, a lot of that depends on what happens between now and Secret Wars. Because that movie wouldn't come out until well after that. So, maybe his son dies and that's the catalyst. Maybe just during Secret Wars and the incursion, something happens and they could do a variant Ed Norton Hulk. I don't think so. Because technically the Ed Norton Hulk is the Mark Ruffalo Hulk. And bringing Ed Norton back as a variant could muddy that waters if people understand. Because people need to understand that had Ed Norton not tried to take full creative control of everything and be such almost a dictator on set, he'd still be here now in this role. It would be him instead of Mark Ruffalo. Although we found out recently that Mark Ruffalo was actually the first choice. He just wasn't available. And so Edward Norton was brought in. But doing an Ed Norton variant from a different universe could confuse fans enough that it would be like, wait a minute. I would rather see an Eric Bana one.
Yeah.
But Eric Bana has been very adamant about not wanting to do any more superhero things and not come back for the Hulk. So I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. But I also like blame New Rockstar for putting my idea in the head. Yeah, you got to take a lot of what New Rockstar says with a grain of salt. Mainly just watch their Easter egg breakdowns, and then when they start getting into theories, turn it off.
Yeah.
Because that's when it gets a little like, all right. Yeah, and an Edward Norton variant would be bad, I think, personally. I know some people will be like, oh, that'd be cool. But then in seeing it, you're muddy in the waters, and it's like, wait a minute, so was Incredible Hulk not canon to the MCU?
Yeah.
Yes, it is canon.
And then you're going to bring up the whole everything is canon.
Yeah, it's
made again. And it's just, oh, God. Not ready to fight that battle again.
No. Long story short, multiverse does not equal canon. Canon involves the 616 timeline exclusively. variant timelines and multiverses like 838 and et cetera, are not canon to the MCU. End of discussion for now.
Yeah.
Remember, it's just a theory, a film theory. That's MatPat. And at least MatPat, when he does these, I don't feel like... I love new rock stars for what they do, but like whenever they get into theories, they get into almost dude bro territory because they they act like if their theory doesn't happen, it's the worst thing ever. Film theory. What I love about the way what MatPat does is that he goes back and looks at things and then puts theories together of what could be in between the lines. He doesn't think about theories for the future of the project. He just makes up theories for games and movies. How to connect things. He fills in missing parts with series. But a variant could work, not Norton. Yeah, but then you have Mark Ruffalo, Incredible Hulk of 616, and his son fighting a variant Hulk and a variant Scar. That gets convoluted. And we already have so many people complaining about how the Hulk has been represented in the MCU. Why not give the current MCU Hulk his own film? Give the current MCU Hulk a big World War Hulk-like storyline so people can stop complaining about how they've completely done the Hulk dirty throughout the entirety of the MCU, not understanding the logistics behind the entire reasoning.
Yeah.
So I think that a variant on paper could work. In reality, doesn't work at all. It makes it far too convoluted, even if it's not Norton, even if it's another version of Mark Ruffalo or a completely different actor altogether, you end up... All you're doing is hurting Mark Ruffalo's Hulk at that point. Because the character's already complained about enough as it is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to call it a friend, but I'm going to call it a friend. Comic book overdose. One of the biggest Hulk fans out there, absolutely detests the way the MCU has treated the Hulk. And while I can understand where he's coming from, I don't think it's as bad as most people say it is. However, I would like to see him get another solo project fully realized under the MCU umbrella. Not like the Incredible Hulk was still the very beginning of everything. I would love to see a full-on Savage Hulk, Worldbreaker Hulk, like, give us the real meaty Hulk under the MCU banner. That'd be great. And let's not downplay Mark Ruffalo's Hulk by making it a variant from another universe. Because the other thing you have to do is you have to do exactly what Thanos did to him. You have to make, like, just as Thanos just basically pistol whip without the pistol the shit out of the Hulk in Infinity War. This new variant Hulk has to come in and do the same thing. That's the end of Mark Ruffalo's Hulk.
Yeah.
If another variant Hulk comes in and just completely just bitch slaps him around for 20 minutes or whatever, done. There's no redeeming that. Even if he comes back and ends up finding a way to beat this Hulk, it sure as hell won't be physically. And this is the end of Mark Ruffalo's Hulk.
A really bad wrestling story where, you know, you're trying to put somebody over, but then they just lose and lose and lose. And, you know, that person loses the push.
Exactly.
And then, you know, they get knocked down to only doing like cameos on the lesser known shows that nobody watches until the contract's over and done with, and then they're released.
I feel like what's best for a World War Hulk movie is to give us a definitive end for Mark Ruffalo's Hulk.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mark Ruffalo can't be doing this forever. Mm. And we're already establishing She-Hulk as a way to replace him. Maybe Scar will be done in a way that... And I do feel there's going to be a redesign because they didn't cast anybody famous to play him. It was literally just a stand-in. So I feel like there will be a redesign. But Scar will be the future Hulk alongside She-Hulk. Mark Ruffalo needs that definitive ending to the story. We need to see him become Savage, become Worldbreaker Hulk, in the end realize find some redemption arc through the movie, and then maybe go back to Sakaar and stay there. You know, go away. If we bring in a variant, it completely kills Mark Ruffalo's entire arc throughout the MCU. It needs to be Mark Ruffalo who loses it. It needs to be Mark Ruffalo being a Savage Hulk. It needs to be Mark Ruffalo of the 616 MCU who goes through a finale to his story and then goes away. I don't want to see him die. Obviously, the Hulk can't die in the comics. Also, killing a Hulk, I don't think it's a good look for the MCU. But have him, after all of this, be like, I'm not needed here anymore. Jen's got it. My son's got it. The rest of the Avengers got it. I'm done. I'm ready to just go away and be on my own. Maybe World War Hulk is on Sakaar. Instead of it being on Earth. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how to do it exactly, but it has to be Mark Ruffalo's 616 Hulk. Has to be. Can't have him in here for so long, and then you get a World War Hulk movie, and it's a variant from a different universe. Just cannot be done.
No, it just wouldn't work.
It's honestly pointless.
And it's like Jim was pointing out in this very episode, you know, why are we doing a story where Todd gets Hulk powers? I mean, it's been done. Do we really want to see another Hulk versus Hulk fight? Yeah, I mean, it looks cool, but we've done it.
Exactly. So,
they were even making fun of themselves in this episode, you know, Iron Man 1, you had an Iron Man suit against a guy in an Iron Man suit. And Incredible Hulk, you had Hulk versus Hulk. And Thor, you had an Asgardian versus an Asgardian. And Captain America, the First Avenger, you had a super soldier versus a super soldier. And Black Panther, Black Panther versus a Black Panther. And so on and so on. I mean, we've had these clone battles.
Captain Marvel, you know, a Kree soldier versus a Kree soldier, basically.
Yeah.
Almost every time, everybody's first film, Ant-Man versus Yellow Jacket. I mean, Doctor Strange versus
Mordo.
No, not for Mordo. Mordo was actually on his side in the first one. It was
I can't now remember his name either.
Weird name. Regardless, yeah. Another sorcerer.
Yeah, sorcerer versus a sorcerer.
Yeah. Trying to go through all the films.
Well, even in the Disney Plus series in WandaVision, you had a witch versus a witch.
Yep. Super Soldier kind of versus Captain America versus Captain America-esque. In Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. And so on and so on.
Loki, for the most part, was battling another Loki. Like, that one's the most egregious, in a sense. Loki versus Loki. Caecilius, thank you. It's just, I can't think of, you know, I think Ms. Marvel is maybe the closest to not having exact power, even though they're family. Their powers aren't really the same. So maybe.
Yeah.
But in Moon Knight, we had Avatar versus an Avatar.
And, you know, it's just really refreshing that even the MCU has called themselves out on that.
Yeah.
These little literal mirror matches in almost every single film, except for like the Avengers films.
Well, it's at least every single origin film.
Exactly, yes.
But even like in, like, say, Iron Man 2 was Whiplash.
Yes, it was the same.
With an arc reactor, you know, and then Iron Drones. Iron Man 3 was the Extremis, but with, you know, so. I mean, Captain America, Winter Soldier, Bucky.
Yeah, another super soldier.
Civil War, obviously. It's just hero versus hero.
Hero.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Doctor Strange 2 is a little bit different, but it's still witch versus sorcerer. But they do make it very clear that what they do is not the same as what chaos magic is.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, Ant-Man and the Wasp is one of the ones I would feel that's the closest to not, because Ghost is vastly different.
Yeah.
It's quantum power set, but hers is actually quantum power, where his is just the Pym particles.
Yeah.
And it's also like he shrinks and grows. She is phasing in and out of the quantum realm.
Yeah.
So that's different. Thor 2 was the dark elf, but still like magical godlike creature.
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Ragnarok, it's his literal sister. Or Thor Ragnarok, I'm sorry.
Yeah, another Asgardian versus Asgardian.
Thor 4. Thor Love and Thunder. I mean, Gore is supposed to be the antithesis of the gods. Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that one's different enough.
Yeah, but we also didn't get a lot of gore in that film. We got more of him, like, you know, going against other gods.
True, true.
For the rest of the films, I obviously did not list 20, 30, whatever. Look at all, like, Spider-Man, the Spider-Man films, because Vulture's not like Spider-Man, Mysterio's not like Spider-Man, all the villains in
No Way Home.
So those films have been different, but that's also Sony. And Marvel very much hands deep in it, but what am I missing? Well, all the Black Avengers Widow films, you can't really count those.
Yeah, Black Widow. Yeah, Black Widow. Oh,
Black Widow very Black much. Widow, yeah. Taskmaster was just another Black Widow.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other Black Widows. Let's see. Shang-Chi, his father.
Yeah, another.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty much every film that's not a large ensemble film,
it's pretty much the same film.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, and they addressed that in this, and I love that. And I don't know why we just spent 5 minutes going through that when we could have just said that in a much, much smaller thing.
Because it's fun.
No, we talked about Ms. Marvel. I think Ms. Marvel kind of gets away from that, but it's still the same family. They're all djinn. Turns out djinns are actually mutants. And maybe they're going to explain that mutants are descendants of the djinn who have populated with humans, and that leads to the mutant gene. So these people from this other dimension, that might be how they explain mutants. Because the djinn have been around for thousands of years on Earth. So maybe that's how they'll explain the mutants. But he's still kind of fighting her family. But I think the real villain was the DODC, so maybe not. So maybe that one kind of subverts it a little bit. But the reality is, they called it out in this. They definitely made sure to know, like, hey, like, we can't keep doing this. They're very self-aware. So I feel like moving forward, we're going to see a lot of changes. I think Wakanda Forever is going to be one of them. Because I want to understand Namor, which they're pronouncing his name differently in this film because of the Latin heritage. Namor is what he was in the comics, how he was pronounced in the cartoons, but that was when he was from Atlantis. Now having the Latin background, you must have missed it in a commercial break. Well, if you use your Prime subscription to subscribe or just paid $5 a month, you'd have no more ads. Just kidding. You don't have to pay for it. But use your Prime subscription. It's free if you use Prime. Anyways. So it's going to be Namor. It's going to be a more Latin translation of the word, or pronunciation of the word, I should say. Regardless, he's going to be very different, but he's also not the villain of the film, actually. It's going to be one of those this is where it's kind of a trope, but this is very much just a superhero trope in general, not just a Marvel MCU trope or a DC trope or a film trope. It's a superhero story. It's a hero's journey trope.
Yeah.
Of hero versus hero, standing for what they both believe in. Turns out they actually have similar ideologies and don't realize it. There's a common enemy, kind of pitting the two against each other. Those are the people looking for the vibranium or whatever else they're doing. Regardless, we'll find out there's going to be it should be when you go to hit subscribe, there should be a little checkbox above the actual subscribe button. Right before that purple button, there should be a little checkbox to the left that says subscribe or resubscribe with Prime. Unless you haven't linked your Prime account again, you might have to redo it. They did change it to Prime Gaming, so that you might have to relink it, because they updated it about 2 months ago to a different system, so you might have to relink it. Anyways, we'll have to wait and see how that turns out. It's coming November, so we'll find out very soon.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're going to start to kind of like get around that. We have no idea who the villain's going to be for the Marvels, but the fact that we're going to have three characters there, two of them with kind of similar powers, one with not, it'll be weird. It'll be cool to see where that goes. Quantumania, Kang is the villain. Although Yellow Jacket's coming back, but as MODOK. So we're not going to have the same there. Think of what else that we know about that's coming up. We don't know who the villain is for Thunderbolt, so we don't know anything about that. Which I want to talk about that again, because I'm going to bring up the post-credit scene.
Yeah.
Or mid-credit scene, technically. We haven't gotten one in a couple weeks, but we got one. Couldn't find it on the IO. You might have to go. I think you have to now go to an actual desktop version of it to link it again. I think that's part of the change they made. You might not be able to do it from the iOS Twitch app. Try to think of what else we got coming up that's already kind of like talked about. We got Loki season 2, but it seems like Kane's going to be the villain for that as well. But still kind of dealing with Sylvie and her repercussions of what she did.
Yeah.
I think that's all we really have right now about anyway.
Yeah.
So that's kind of have to wait and see if they really took to heart their own calling themselves out in this episode or not. I think they will though. But we'll see what the future holds there. Let's get to that post-credit scene. So in this deal, obviously Emil Blonsky violated his parole because he became the Abomination. He was doing it for these motivational speeches. So he has to go back to prison. 10 years. And he just agrees. He's like, you're right. I messed up. Pay for my crimes. But yeah, he has to go.
That's what Jim wanted him to do. Just take accountability for his actions. When she was talking to Kevin. So yeah, he gets. Signs the paper. Says, I agree that I'm going back to jail for 10 years. Because I violated my probation. And he's like, yeah, okay. So then we get to the.
Well, there's a reason he agreed to that. There's a reason he took accountability.
Yeah.
It's because he knew Wong was going to break him out again and have him live at Kamertage. It's a funny scene. Because one, it's like, it took you long enough. You got wrapped up in another TV show, didn't you?
Yeah.
Which he's talking about him watching something like Breaking Bad or Sopranos or something like that. But it's also a nod to the fact that Wong is becoming the new Nick Fury of the MCU.
Yeah.
And getting wrapped up in another show is him getting cameo in something else. I'm almost surprised. There was a part of me that's like, is Wong going to show up in Werewolf by Night? He didn't. Which I think, thankfully.
Yeah, yeah.
But regardless, they get there. And of course, again, it's funny scenes. Like, so what's the rules here? Is everything, you know, is it a shared fridge? He's like, it's. We share everything is the basic rule. He's like, you got Wi-Fi? Yeah, we have Wi-Fi. Tying back to the first Doctor Strange film, you know, we have Wi-Fi. We're not savages. So Emil Blonsky is escaped prison and is now living at Kamertage. So does that mean we could get Abomination in the Thunderbolts?
Maybe.
This leaves that open for that.
Very much open.
Because it could be that he could be found again. We don't know the kind of jurisdiction a DODC has or whatever, you know, Interpol style jurisdiction there. Obviously, he'd be a wanted criminal from not just the U.S. So, you know, could be like, hey, you escaped. You were supposed to live out 10 years. With the escape, you could be in there for life. Or come be a part of the Thunderbolts. Just like John Walker's past transgressions were basically wiped clean.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he blatantly murdered a dude with the shield in the middle of the street while people filmed it. He gets to be a part of the team. I feel like the Thunderbolts in the MCU are going to be more of a clandestine, almost X-Force kind of team in the shadows. Like X-Force when like Wolverine and Deadpool and them were on the team. It's going to be more of that, like a clandestine kind of thing. But we've also got Secret Invasion coming up, which is, you know, TV-14. And so that's going to be crazy and bloody and aggressive. And who knows what happens there. But yeah, I think that this kind of like leaves the door open for possibly him and the Thunderbolts.
Yeah, going back to Wong for a second, do you think that the DOD is going to be hunting him down, trying to arrest him for breaking a meal out again?
I mean, maybe, but he'll never get caught. He's also the Sorcerer Supreme, so he might be able to pull some, like, diplomatic immunity thing, maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
But we'll see about that. The DODC is already in hot water on things. After the Miss Marvel and everything, and also this not going well because the fact that, you know, Meal escaped and this and that. Like, so it seems like DODC might be having some issues too. So after Secret Invasion, it'll be interesting to see what happens with them. Will they end up the same route as S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, after S.H.I.E.L.D. fell apart, you know, from Winter Soldier? We know that this is going to be an espionage-style thriller, The Secret Invasion, so who knows? But, yeah, the Runes of Cuff call again. That could happen, maybe. He makes him forget that he did it. That could be a possibility, too. All in all, this series has definitely moved up to the top of my list. Top three for sure, if not top one, of what the MCU has done. It was refreshing. It was funny. It was very much in your face with the calling people out, which I loved. It called themselves out, which I loved even more. All in all, like, again, to me, episode 4 was the weakest, and it was still a very good episode. That tells you how good the series was in general.
Yeah.
Part of me's disappointed that that was the final episode. I'm looking forward to a season 2, which I know they'll get. I know they'll get a season 2. But they even talked about, you know, she, you know, save it for the film. She's like, oh, I'm going to be in a movies. And he's just like, well, she's like, ah, damn it. We're going to see her in films as well. We are. So we're going to get more She-Hulk throughout the MCU, which I love. I can't wait to see where it goes. I can't wait for season 2. Can't wait to see how Secret Invasion does. We got Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever coming up. So many good things. And regardless of the people who want to talk about the MCU being in shambles, I think this is the strongest it's ever been. And I cannot wait for the future.
Yeah. Yeah, just really excited to see where everything's going to go from here. Because it's just a good time to be a fan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see where it goes. Can't wait.
And here's the thing. If the next project ends up not being good, that's okay.
Yeah.
If we end up not liking some of it or all of it, like the next show or the next movie or whatever, which I seriously doubt that Wakanda Forever will be bad. I have no inclination whatsoever of that movie being bad. It just looks like it's going to be amazing. I trust Ryan Coogler. I trust they dealt with the death of Chadwick Boseman with expertise and grace.
Yes.
And Nick Moore, one of the VPs at Marvel and an executive producer for most things, talked about how it was very important to them to not recast T'Challa so that they could show how these people dealt with the loss of their leader and how they grieved and how they moved on and how they continued to be the powerful people that they are. Not just power, not physically, but as a community. So I'm really looking forward to that movie. Namor, or Namor in this, has always been a favorite of mine. I've loved the character, albeit he's very inconsistent with how they treat him. But I'm looking forward to seeing how he's brought to life. I'm looking forward to finding out who the person behind the people trying to steal the vibranium is. All of that. I think it's going to be great. I think Secret Invasion is going to be amazing. I'm looking ahead and I can't really see anything that's going to be bad. Might not be great, but I just don't see anything being bad. So it's the future is bright as ever for the MCU.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, there's not a project that I'm not looking forward to. Some things I'm looking more forward to than others. And I may be pleasantly surprised by the ones I'm not looking forward to as much.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so that's it. All in all, 10 out of 10, She-Hulk is just phenomenal. Very well done. Thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for everybody in the comments. We appreciate it. We love you all. Kisses, hugs, belly rubs. We will see you guys next week.